On August 5th, Michigan voters will head to the polls to select who goes on to represent each party in November's general election. They'll also be asked to vote on Proposal 1, which is the first step in what's been a long-fought effort to reform the state's personal property tax. The tax, which businesses have long argued hinders growth, has also been a crucial source of revenue for many Michigan municipalities. But Proposal 1 seems to have few detractors. Most in the business community and in local government alike are for its passage. A recent report out by the Citizens Research Council of Michigan, an independent, nonpartisan research organization that analyzes public policy questions, took a deeper look at what effects Proposal 1 might have in the future. It turns out that despite little opposition, reforming the personal property tax does come with some costs. Here with us now to break down Proposal 1 is Eric Lufer. Eric's the CRC's research director. We'll point out this is the first in our regular check-ins with the Citizens Research Council to help us understand public policy issues here in Michigan. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with a pretty basic question. There aren't very many vocal special interests on any part of the political spectrum, from the Chamber of Commerce to the Michigan Municipal League, that are coming out in opposition to what voters will see on the ballot come August 5th, to Proposal 1. If that's the case, why should people care?
Mark, thanks for having me here today. Citizens Research Council weighs in on all issues that get on a statewide ballot because we think that better information leads to better decision-making. In this case, it's the people that are making the decision on public policy. And the question, to answer your question relative to this, we're committing money into the future to reimburse local governments for this foregone revenue. Once this is fully phased in, we're talking about at least $500 million. And it's a question for the voters whether they want that $500 million going to reimburse local governments for lost personal property tax revenues or being used for schools, for roads, for everything else that government pays for.
We're talking about the repeal of the personal property tax, but the property we're talking about is for business and commercial use, which can be misleading. In this context, what exactly are we talking about when we say personal property?
Right. So there's two kinds of property as far as the government cares. There's what we call real property, which is the land and the buildings put upon that land. And then personal property is everything put upon that or put inside the building. So an example would be the machinery that industry uses, the computers, the desks, the tables, equipment, all that kind of stuff is considered personal property. And specifically for this question, it's mostly industrial personal property. So to think about the auto plants in the state or the chair manufacturing over on the west side of the state, things like that. It's all that machinery used to produce this stuff that is really at stake with this question.
And what are some of the reasons businesses, I mean, a lot of people don't like taxes for all kinds of reasons, but specifically, what are the reasons that businesses don't like this tax?
Well, there's two reasons. One is a general public policy in Michigan and every other state is they want more business to locate here. And they see this as a disincentive. If you want more of something, if you want less of something, tax it. So if you want more of something, tax it less. So the question is, if we get rid of the personal property tax, will that lead to more businesses choosing to locate in Michigan? The other part of it is businesses see this as double taxation. When they purchase a good, when they purchase a computer, a forklift or whatever, they pay a sales tax on it. And then they put it in their property, and they have to pay the personal property tax upon it. So they see it as double taxation.
Eric Lufer is our guest. Eric's research director of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We're talking about Proposal 1. This would approve a method of reimbursing or recreating revenue for municipalities here after the elimination of Michigan's personal property tax. Many cities and townships have relied on the PPT for a substantial part of their annual revenue. Why are municipalities in support of Proposal 1?
They're in support because it's the best deal they're going to get at this point. This idea of getting rid of personal property taxes has been a long time coming. The Citizens Research Council has reports going back to the 1960s exploring ways that this could have been reduced. The current legislature, the current administration is pushing real hard for this. So the Municipal League, the Township Association, the counties, schools were fighting this for a long time because they wanted to make sure they were going to get their money through a series of negotiations in 2012 through 2014. They came up with this deal that is going to come pretty close to 100% reimbursement. So they feel they're not going to be harmed by it, and they're willing to support it.
Oh, where is it going to come from?
That's the reason we're having this tax or having this vote. What they're doing to reimburse it is to redirect part of the state's use tax from the current state purposes, where it's being paid for general fund purposes, corrections and welfare and everything that state does, everything here in Lansing. It'll be redirected from that to being used to sent to local governments. And it's being done through this convoluted system where they created a statewide local unit of government, and that local unit of government will be ostensibly levying this tax. And any time in Michigan that you have a local government proposing to levy a tax, the people have the right to vote on it.
Mm-hmm. I take it communities with bigger commercial development, with more commercial development, tend to be more reliant on the tax.
Right. Mostly,
would seem to go.
Mostly industrial property, not where you have a big shopping mall, but where you have a lot of industry in your jurisdiction. So to think about the usual suspects, Lansing with the auto facilities, Southeast Michigan with so much industry, the autos, the suppliers, everything like that. The west side of the state with Grand Rapids and Holland with the facilities they have. Midland is actually one of the most dependent on personal property taxes, in a lot of places up north as well.
This taps into a history of mistrust between the state and local municipalities. Can you share some of the history behind why local municipalities are mistrustful of the legislature when it comes to revenue sharing?
Right. When you go back and look at the history of fiscal relationships between the state and its local governments, it starts back in the 1930s when the state first exempted intangible property from local taxation. And they said, well, we'll send you the money. Don't worry. You won't get this local tax, but you'll get a part of a state tax.
Checks in the mail.
That was short-lived, and the state decided its purposes were more important than the local government purposes. Uh-huh. And then this went on in the 1960s. There was some relationships. In the 1970s, they exempted inventory property, and they said, trust us, we're going to send you the money. And then we went through this last decade where the state cut revenue sharing, cut state revenue sharing, cut state revenue sharing, to the point where local governments were out at least $6 billion over that time frame.
So does Proposal 1 provide ironclad protection for municipalities that the legislature won't be able to touch the revenue?
Not ironclad. It is taken out of the appropriations process, so it's not as easy as every year the legislature deciding they need to use that money for something different. But it is put in the statute, and anything the legislature does statutorily, they can undo statutorily. A little more difficult. We have to line up the votes a little more, and of course the Municipal League and the counties and townships will be fighting anything that they try to do statutorily. But again, anything they do statutorily, they can undo statutorily.
Eric Lufer's our guest, Research Director for the Citizen Research Council of Michigan. We're talking about Proposal 1, which will appear on the August 5th ballot here in Michigan. Do many other states have a similar personal property tax?
A lot of states are going down the same road of trying to exempt it, but there are a few still that levy this. Most of our surrounding states, the Great Lakes states, have already gone down this path to exempt the personal property.
Have they gone as far as Michigan is in making an effort to find the revenue, make up for the revenue elsewhere?
They tend to do that. The local governments, of course, are beholden to that revenue. They've budgeted for that revenue. They've looked into the future, counting on that revenue. The difference in Michigan is because of this mistrust between local governments and the state, that we're going through this convoluted system of creating the special authority in the other states that trust seems to be there, and they say every year we'll get you that money, and the local governments are willing to go along with that.
So this arguably this would not have created as much tension if there were a better history of trust between local and state.
Absolutely.
Okay. What will the longer term effects be on the budget, assuming Proposal 1 is approved by the voters?
Well, as I said, every year there's going to be, over the next 10 years, more and more property exempted. It's phased, the property tax is being phased out over a number of years. So it starts off at about $1 billion that's going to be, about $100 million that's being diverted from the state budget in the first year. Eventually, you get down the road where there's about $500,000 being sent to local governments. There is some offset with that.
$500 million.
Yeah. I'm sorry. There's some offset with that with a new state tax that's going to be called a state essential services tax that's going to be levied actually on personal property. So not 100% exemption. They're replacing a local tax with a state tax, but at a lesser rate. And the state's counting on getting some extra money from tax credits that are expiring, things that have been offered back in the Granholm administration when they were trying to get the economy turned around. Those things are coming to expiration, and that'll get new money into the state budget.
So as succinctly as possible, let's close on this note. What are voters really considering here with Proposal 1 coming on August 5th?
The real question is, do you want the state to divert part of its use tax to a local tax? It will end up at the same rate they're paying now. That's not going to increase the amount of taxation to be used for that money to be used to reimburse local governments. It's all about personal property tax reform, a business-friendly move to try to get the economy in Michigan clicking on all cylinders. There's a lot of things hinging on that question of a tax question, voter approval for the tax question.
But it's an effort not to harm municipalities and make good on the revenue that they've been accustomed to through the personal property.
You're exactly right.
Eric Lufer is the research director for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan, an independent, nonpartisan research organization that analyzes public policy questions. Thank you, Eric. We'll check in with the CRC again soon.
Can I mention that all this is available on our website at crcmich.org?
Duly noted. Thank you.
All right.